I want to talk about walking in the ways of God. It strikes me that there's a couple of phrases in the New Testament in the Greek where Paul creates this. Oftentimes he uses the, in English it's translated walk this way. Sometimes it's translated live here. But it's the concept where Paul says this is a place of habitation. This is somewhere where you should live. And when you look, walk this way, walk in this way, live in this space, inhabit this area. That's kind of the move of what Paul's trying to say behind it. And so I'm going to give you just a few examples of this. We're going to put it up. In Galatians 5, Paul says, so I say walk by the Spirit. Ephesians, walk in the way of love. John, walk in the truth. Walk by faith, various scriptures. Live as children of the light. Romans 12, live in harmony with one another. Live at peace with everybody. Live in peace. There's a bunch of peace scriptures. Live as free people. Live a holy life. The concept behind these is not that these are some areas that you should go and visit when you have an opportunity. When the rest of your life slows down a little and you have some free time and free space, you go, well, I'm going to go try that peace thing, or I'm going to go try, you know, live in holiness. No, Paul says, listen, I want you to extricate yourself from the other parts of life, and I want you to set up a habitation right here. There is a fundamental choice that we can make, because you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You no longer have the right to say, I'm sorry, I'm stuck here, I'm a slave to this thing. Before you knew the Lord, that was the truth about you. Since you've come into the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you've been emancipated by Jesus. God the Father reached down, translated you, said, okay, no more darkness for you. Here, you're in the kingdom of my beloved Son. Behold, all things have become new for you and for me. And so if I live in the kingdom of light, but I allow myself to go, well, you know, it's easy for you all, but I'm sold as a slave to sin. Do you understand how inappropriate that is here? Now, I'm not saying that you're not struggling with some issues. Well, Greg, you don't understand. I'm grumpy because that's just my nature. And I don't want to go to one of the community groups because I'll just be grumpy on them. No, well, that's a choice you're making. You're choosing to inhabit a place that is not a kingdom space. It's not because you have to. It's because you choose to. See, I think there are some spaces that I inhabit. I do so by choice, and it goes deeper than the current winds or pressures on my life. It's not really the current season that some people are living in that justifies their decisions that they constantly make. In other words, there's a temporary current circumstance. And when you speak to them about why they're living in a certain other place, they justify it by this current circumstance. I had an example with a family that I know that have lived on the outskirts of the church for a decade and have not attended and have not engaged and have not served well or certainly with any regularity. And so in discussion, they were like, well, this is the issue. But that happened 6 months ago. What about the 9.5 years before that? Because 2 years ago, it was another issue that justified why you didn't live where the Bible says you should live. And 5 years ago, there was another issue why you didn't live where the Bible requires you to live. And 7 years ago, see, after a while, I'm not buying anymore the reasons you're giving me why you're not doing what you know you ought to be doing. Is this too gentle or is this too harsh? Are you hearing me? I hope you're in my heart, not just the words, because fundamentally, we have to get ourselves to a place where we go, look, I'm going to choose to live where I know I'm supposed to live. And I'm not going to allow excuses, current or long-term, to push me off where I know I should be inhabiting. You know, Greg, I can't live in peace now because you don't know my financial situation. Greg, I can't commit into the local church because you don't know the pressures I'm under. Now, I know a lot of people who are in dire places and under a lot of pressure and facing many things who have. At the same time that you've allowed those excuses to cause you to withdraw from the church, who at the same time, under more pressure than you, have been serving. That's my reality. I go, oh, wow. And so beyond the current set of circumstances, beyond the current little net pressures that you're facing and I'm facing, there are some fundamental underpinning things where I choose to be a person who does this. We chose to be a family that does this. We chose to set the kingdom of God first in our life. And it doesn't matter what comes and what goes. That is an underlying, underpinning, fundamental presupposition of our life. And those presuppositions don't come whimsically. They come by deliberate decision. They come by discussion. They come by a place where we sit down as a family and say, this is the kind of family we're going to be. I'm going to be part of the body of Christ. Sometimes that's inconvenient. Sometimes people are downright obnoxious. But I value the body of Christ, so we live in fruitful relationship with them. And we bear with them when they need to be born with. And we care for them when they need to be cared for. And we love them because they always need that. And that has nothing to do with the circumstances that we face. That has everything to do with the choices that we make. It speaks not about our circumstances, but about who we're choosing to be as people. Who are you choosing to be? I want to show you just this little video. Some words, people, if they had the choice, they would go, that's the word I want to represent my life. And Paul said, I'll show you the most excellent way. If there's one way you should be walking, it should be walking in the way of love. Now, being a person of integrity, that's an excellent way to walk. Being a gentle person, that's a good way to walk in. Being a kind person, that's a great place. Being professional, being excellent, being generous, these are good values. These are good pathways to walk in. But Paul said, I'll show you the most excellent way. I'll show you the most excellent way. Walk in love. Inhabit this space. Be a person who demonstrates the love of God to other people. And Jesus said, by this, they'll know you're my disciples. You have been discipled by me. You have learned and caught my heart. They'll know that you're my disciple when you love one another. This is the most excellent way. And it requires more than mental assent. It requires a deliberate decision from you and from me. It has to push past the pressures that you're going to face. It has to push past the offenses that people are going to give. It has to go beyond the convenience that you would prefer. It has to be something fundamental that I decided in my gut I am going to walk in love. I'm going to live in this space. I'm not going to visit it periodically when the circumstances are just right and people are doing just what I want them to. Then I will be loving. I'm going to be somebody who loves. I'm smiling because I want you not to feel that condemned. But this is an important issue. This is a choice we make. I'm not buying the excuses from believers as to why they're not walking in what Jesus has already given them freely the ability to walk in. It's very hard to take seriously whatever that is. Well, the reason I couldn't be involved is. Okay. some of the busiest people in our church are some of the most committed. Some of the people who are struggling the most financially are the most regular in their giving. Some of the people who need ministry the most are the people who are ministering most often. What's your excuse? Corinthians 12:31. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love. Ephesians 5. Walk in the way of love. 2 John 1. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I want to end this meeting right now with 30 seconds of you making a decision. Who you choose to be says something about you. Who you choose to be and the places you choose to live is all about you and what decisions you make. What you, Greg, you don't understand. I'm just a grumpy nature. Well, that's a choice. It doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Greg, you don't understand. It's not comfortable for me to be really engaged regularly in community in the church. Because I'm an important person. What do you add to that that validates, you know, I can't really do that? I'm a busy person. I have such a passion to see the church walking in everything the church is born to walk in. I'm jealous for you. I promised you to one husband. But I'm scared that somehow, through the serpent's cunning, your minds will be drawn away to something other than pure and sincere devotion to Christ. That's what Paul said. Let's close. Father, in these areas, Lord, where we have chosen for a decade to live where your scripture did not invite us to, we take a new mind. We repent. We change the way we see that, Lord. No longer can I justify living where you didn't ask me to live. And I ask, Lord, that you'd free me. You deliver me today. And I choose right now to walk as you've called me to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.